How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day. Hey there, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I am John Corrales, joining you right after the Celtics-Cavaliers game. A tough loss, but an impressive loss for the Boston Celtics, 128-122 over the defending champs. Let's go over some of the good and the bad things. Before we do that, I want to remind people to follow us however you do it on your iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, whatever podcast app you have. If you haven't subscribed to us, please do that. Search for Locked On Celtics, Rain and Jays. You will find us. Go to our Audio Boom page if you follow us on Twitter. Somehow you have gotten to this, so you can get to that Audio Boom page and you can plug that RSS feed into whatever podcatcher you want. And you can subscribe to us. If you are a subscriber and you haven't rated us 5 stars yet, please do that. That'll get us a little more visibility. That'll help us out a lot. And check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network. Lots of great shows out there. The Locked On Fantasy Podcast. Locked On Fantasy? Sure. Locked On Fantasy Podcast is doing great. They're giving you a ton of great information. The Locked On NBA, a great show there too. And any other team you want to follow, you can go Locked On Cavaliers and see how they're reacting to this win and see what they're saying. And you can just check out any other team. So great stuff. Okay, tough loss. The Celtics went into Cleveland really undermanned. No Jay Crowder, out for a couple of weeks with that sprained ankle. No Al Horford in the concussion protocol by the NBA for that hit to the head the other day. Hopefully he's okay. Still no Kelly Olynyk. So I was expecting the Celtics to go out there and really just get blown out. And they had opportunities. They were down by as much as 20 points at one point. But they just kept on coming back. That lead hovered around 12 for most of the game. But in true Celtics fashion, in true Brad Stevens era fashion, these guys never, ever gave up. They kept things close. They cut this thing down late in the game, but unfortunately, not enough to get past the Cavaliers. Jaylen Brown made his first start of his career 4 games in, and not a bad debut for Jaylen Brown. I mean, really impressive for the rookie. He just turned 20 years old. Look at his numbers for this game. 8 of 16 shooting, 19 points. He was 3 of 6. We know his shooting is still a work in progress. There are games where he might be 0 for 6 from 3. But tonight, he was 3 of 6. A really, really great game. A team high plus 15 for him. 3 steals, a couple of assists, 5 rebounds, a block, just 1 turnover, 4 fouls in 35 minutes, guarding LeBron James for a lot of that time. Just really an impressive debut as a starter for Jaylen Brown. He had a lot of positive things on defense, aggressive, but not overly aggressive, keeping himself in check, smart, not doing a lot of stupid things. And that's the thing that you expect from a rookie, for him to do stupid things. And he didn't do those stupid things. He and Brad Stevens after the game said that he was most impressed by Jaylen Brown's attention to detail. And he did a lot of those things. He wasn't out of control. In fact, I don't think he was aggressive enough. He had many opportunities where guys like Richard Jefferson and Kevin Love and Mike Dunleavy switched out on him. Those are all guys that he has a physical advantage over. And in those situations, I think part of the post-game analysis for Jaylen Brown, he needs to be more aggressive in those situations. You're young, and I know that in those situations, a young guy may be thinking, I want to be part of this offense. I've got to think about myself as part of this offense, which means swing the ball and pass the ball and set the screens and all of this stuff. And yes, that is true. But, and there's always a but in the NBA, you have to read situations, and that's just part of his progression. We're just a few games into this season, a few games into his NBA career, facing actual competition, facing the defending champions. He needs to look at the guy who's in front of him and say, Kevin Love, I can take him. Mike Dunleavy, I can take him. Richard Jefferson, I can take him. I mean, Richard Jefferson almost retired. He should be retired. But Mike Dunleavy is on his last legs. Kevin Love's not a great defender. Take that guy. Take him. Bust him. And even if they foul you, even if it's on the floor, you pile up those fouls. And then you put that team in the bonus. And then later in the quarter, in the last 4 or 5 minutes of the quarter, every foul becomes free throws. And that's where you get an opportunity to put Isaiah Thomas on the line and put your better shooters on the line, your starters on the line, because you were aggressive and you drew those fouls. And hey, maybe you can get a shot up and draw an and one every once in a while. But if I'm nitpicking a little bit, and I'm not saying that this is a problem, but looking at his game, that's something that I want him to focus on. I think, but again, Jaylen Brown had a really, really nice game. And I have to mention that rebound. That rebound that he had was out of this world. He went up in traffic and sort of cuffed it. And it was hard to see in the flow of the game. If you're not following me on Twitter, if you came here through some other means, my Twitter is at RedsArmy_John. I tweeted out the gif of him going up and getting that rebound. Really hard to comprehend exactly how he did that. It was a very weird, he floated in the air for a couple of seconds longer than you think he might have been able to. And the ball just sort of stuck to his hand. I don't know how he actually caught it. And then he kicked it back out. Unfortunately, that's not going to get a lot of play, but it should, because that was a wild, wild play. And I asked everybody to tweet their thoughts during the game using the hashtag Rain and Jays. And people like Aaron, at Aaron Ava, anyone complaining about the Jaylen Brown pick tonight? Nope, not one bit. There's a lot to be happy about Jaylen. And just think back to the draft when that pick was booed. And we know that he himself wasn't booed. It wasn't like Knicks fans booing the Porzingis pick. But that pick was still booed. And so it's nice to see that he's out there and all of a sudden all of these Celtics fans were all pretty much all in on Jaylen Brown. At Merlin Kalo, Jaylen Brown, in a video which I retweeted earlier, mentions that he might steal a nickname, Brownzilla. I mean, this kid's quickly earning some sort of nickname. I want to give him time to grow into a nickname, but tonight, yes, he was Brownzilla tonight. That was whatever you want to call him. Just not the poet, though. I'm sorry, Kyle Draper, not the poet. But anything better than that, call him that. That'd be great, because he definitely deserves it tonight. And another one from at @Dijon_Rondo. Hypothetical, if Jaylen plays this well till Jay Crowder is back, do you start both, put Amir on the bench, and just say F rebounds? Well, no. I mean, the Celtics did give up a ton of rebounds again tonight. But I will say, Okay, they were out-rebounded 44-38. That's not too bad. That is not too bad. They gave up 10 offensive rebounds. Four of them went to Tristan Thompson. Look, the Celtics, good teams can give up rebounds. Good teams can win games being out-rebounded by six. For the Celtics, that's not bad at all. I don't think that Amir being in the game or playing Crowder and Brown next to each other is a rebounding thing. If you play Crowder and Brown next to each other, that would be a defense thing and having them switch and be able to guard multiple positions. I don't think we're at a point where Jaylen is going to start. But I'll put that caveat out there. If he suddenly plays way above his head and is like this in Jay Crowder's absence, I reserve the right to change my mind. Maybe you just start Crowder at the four and have him just do that. I don't know. I don't want to go overboard. It's one game. It is one game. Let me draw myself back in. I don't have Jay here to call me out. I don't have Sam here to call me out. So I have to call myself out and rein myself in. It's one game. And yes, it was against LeBron, but LeBron wasn't exactly going into takeover mode. He went into takeover mode in the third quarter, and that lead ballooned. So if LeBron really, really wanted to, I feel like he could have put this game a little more out of reach a little earlier, and we wouldn't be saying some of the things that we're saying tonight. So some of this is LeBron wasn't in full-out LeBron playoff mode. So let's just kind of back off a little bit on the Jaylen playing and how he's playing and starting him. I think ultimately him coming off the bench would be just better for now. So that's a very long answer to the hypothetical. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think Amir is going to be the starter, and that's just going to be how it is. Amir is a very important piece to this team. So that's the Jaylen Brown thing. Let's talk about Isaiah Thomas for a little bit. Through most of this game, we're talking about how Isaiah Thomas had a tough shooting night, and he did. He shot 8 of 19, 42%, 0 of 6 from 3, but he was aggressive. Now, 0 of 6 from 3 on 8 of 19 shooting, that means he was 8 of 13 from 2, which is damn good, and he was 14 of 14 from the line. That puts him at a 30-point game. Now, he was a minus 7 in the plus-minus, but when you lose by 6 to be a minus 7 as a starter, there you go. 30 points, 6 assists, 3 rebounds. That ended up being a hell of a night for Isaiah Thomas, for a guy who most of the night didn't look like he was playing very well. In the third quarter, he really, really attacked the basket. He had a really nice game in the second half. That level of aggression and that Isaiah Thomas game where attack, 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 draw the fouls. In the third quarter, he was 4 of 8, 3 of 3 from the line. He had 11 of his 30 points in the third quarter. So after a tough first half, he really stepped things up and picked things up. So just another typical Isaiah Thomas game. 21 points in the second half for Isaiah with 4 assists. 9 trips to the line in the second half, 6 of 12 shooting, and 0 of 3 in the second half. But so that just means he was 6 of 9 in the second half from 2. What are you going to say about Isaiah Thomas? And look, the Celtics outscored the Cavaliers by 11 in the second half. They just got down too big early in the game to mount that comeback. And you think about it, without Crowder, without Al Horford, maybe, look, when those guys play, the Cavaliers would put forth maybe a bit of a different effort, and they would put forth enough of an effort to also win by six with those guys. Who knows? It's a purely hypothetical thing. But they did this. The Celtics did do this. The Celtics did come back. They kept it close, and they had it real close within striking distance in the last couple of minutes of the game. A chance in Cleveland on a back-to-back without two of their key guys. Well, three of their key guys, because I keep forgetting about Olynyk because he hasn't played yet. That's a big deal. That is a, if you're looking at quality wins, quality losses, that's a quality loss. I mean, they really played hard, and Isaiah Thomas had a really nice comeback in the second half to end up with a pretty good game. Avery Bradley also had a really good game. 26 points, 10 more rebounds. What is up with Avery Bradley boarding? He is chomping glass. Avery Bradley, another double-double. Unbelievable that Avery Bradley's out there boarding like that. And another guy who in the second half, 18 points in the second half for Bradley. 7 of his rebounds came in the second half. He was a plus 16 in the second half. I mean, Bradley is out there. Now, you might have heard this. I think it was on Tuesday or Wednesday. I forget which one it was. I was on one of the radio shows in Maine. If you listen to the bonus clip at the end of one of those two podcasts, I did mention that it's curious. I was curious to see what Avery Bradley would be without Al Horford. And I wanted to see how much of Avery Bradley's progression had to do with Al Horford being there. Now, he didn't have the greatest game last night, but tonight he had a really good game and did a lot of really good things on offense, showing that he could create his own shot, be aggressive, drive to the rim. He had an amazing early in the game, and I think he might have shook Kevin Love, which not all that impressive in itself, but just that head fake, crossover dribble, get to the rim, not something you'd normally see from Avery Bradley. A confident attack, head and shoulder fake, crossing over, that is not typical Avery Bradley. So when we look at Avery Bradley, he is for real. This offensive evolution is for real. That there is some that is attributed to Al Horford for sure, because he is that good. Al Horford is that good where he can be, where he can lift everyone else's game. That I've been saying that from the beginning. That is still true. But Avery Bradley's progression, his offensive evolution is legit. It is for real. And there's no reason to question whether he's being completely impacted by anybody else. That is a thing. Let's just enjoy it. And I'm starting to think that I firmly believe the Celtics are going to get two All-Stars. And I'm starting to think that Avery Bradley might be the second guy. If they might get three if the Celtics end up being good enough. But Avery Bradley is going to be hard to ignore because his defense is still really good. And he's out there scoring 26 points. He's had, he's scoring amazingly well. He's rebounding like crazy. He's dishing. There's just no weakness here. He's playing well. And yeah, it's small sample size theater. I get it. But he's just playing amazingly well. There's just nothing else to say about that. So those are the biggest positives in the game. There are negatives. The Celtics, well, let's get to one more positive because it's kind of a mix. This is kind of like my segue. Tristan Thompson, 10 rebounds in the first quarter, but then he only had 4 after that. So the negative, they got out rebounded like crazy, and I thought they were going to get just decimated on the boards. But just four after that. That's a big positive. Marcus Smart came in, played 28 minutes. Numbers-wise, not bad. 14 points, 2 assists, a couple of rebounds, but a minus 21, which is crazy. But he hit 3 of 6 from 3, so another in-between mixed bag, Marcus Smart. The Celtics defense gave up 128 points. Of course, no Horford, no full complement with the Celtics, no Jay Crowder. That would probably help in preventing teams from scoring 128 points. But still, that's something that happened, so we have to consider that. And the starters, LeBron James, Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, 79 points. Really, Kyrie Irving's a bad man, and he, in the first half, was just crushing the Celtics. LeBron, his passing, he had 30 points, 12 assists, 7 rebounds. You can hate LeBron. That's fine. I'm not going to tell you not to hate LeBron, but wow, his passing. Wow, his passing was something else. And sometimes you just got to sit back and look at it and say, man, that is just insanity, complete insanity that he can make some of these passes. Back to the Twitter, the hashtag is RaininJays, RaininJs, no G in there, RaininJays. At Celtics fan, at Celtics 34 fan, is Stephen's game plan for the team to take so many threes? Yeah, that's the plan. That's part of the plan. And when you look at the Celtics, they took 32 three-pointers. They were 11 of 32 for 34%. You'd like to see that percentage be a little higher. But the Cavaliers took 34, and they were 14 of 34, so for 41%. That's where you'd like to be. And in today's NBA, hitting 14 of 34 from three, that is really, really good. And even the Celtics hitting 11 of 32, not great, but you're just under 35%. That's okay. That's okay. You'd like to see it be up around 36, 37. The closer you get to 40, obviously the better. That's the type of analysis you're getting here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. The closer you get to a better percentage, the better off you are. So yeah, you want to get it up above 35%, but for the Celtics, that's not horrible. Could be much worse. They're usually down in the lower 30% range. So, but yeah, you'd like to see them hit a couple more, but realistically, is Isaiah Thomas going 0 for 6? No. But Jaylen Brown isn't going 3 for 6. So there's always a back and forth here. So you'd like to see the Celtics be up a little bit higher. Yeah, the game plan is for them to take a lot of threes and then get to the basket and take a lot of free throws. They took 22 free throws. The Cavaliers took 37. Not a surprise when you have LeBron James, but he only took 5. Kevin Love took most of the free throws. He took 13. So there's that. I guess shut up, John, right? let's see. What else here on the Rain and Jays here? Johnson's threes. A mere one day, gone the next. That's from Enrique Banasek. There you go. I need a rim shot thing there. The only person, this is from at the underscore Rosendog. The only person who's been saying the Cavs are nervous about the Celtics is Tyronn Lue. National commentators don't believe it. Yeah, the national commentators are probably a little bit behind on things. They generally are. They don't see, you know, they have to focus on so many different things. And some of those guys, you know, like, what do you expect Reggie Miller to say? He's not going to, what's he going to say? I won't get into it. So, all right, that's it for the Twitter. Thank you for sending them in. I'm sorry we can't get to all of them. Thank you for listening to the show. We are here on a Monday through Friday basis, whether it's me and Jay, me and Sam, Jay and Sam, or me by myself, or somebody with a guest. We are here for you to talk about the Celtics. You could put us on in your car. You could put us on for a run. You could put us on at the gym, at work when you want to pretend that you're doing something, but you don't want people to know that you're goofing off. We're here for you. We just, whatever you need us to be, We will be that. The only thing we ask in exchange is tell your friends, rate us 5 stars on iTunes, on Google Play, leave your comments, share it, tweet it, whatever. Thanks for listening on a regular basis. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.